You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And Shaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Oh, it's a conversation with Dawn Karima. I'm Dawn Karima on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. And you're in touch with us right here on radio, the way it should be heard. I am so excited to have the chance to celebrate some folks that are very dear to my heart. You know, I love our military, our troops, our veterans. They are so precious to me, so important to me. I am just so excited because we're going to be celebrating the contributions that our warriors have made. And it's just a wonderful honor to have our first guest on because he is a veteran and someone who is a great family man and really strong character, educated, intelligent, just really bringing great new life into Native music. Mr. Massive, welcome to the show. Would you introduce yourself to us, please?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. My name is Fancy Yellman. I go by Mr. Massive, an independent hip-hop artist out of Arizona. I am coming from the Navajo people, the Diné, also the Lummi tribe from Washington State, Northwest tribe. And yes, I am a veteran, served in the military for 4 years, United States Navy. You know, I was stationed in Jacksonville, Florida. Great experience, you know, great atmosphere I was around the whole time I was there. And it's just the feeling of serving your people along with the country that we live in also, you know.
Mm-hmm. I want to say thank you for your service. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Our military is so precious to me. My dad's a Vietnam veteran. My man is a Marine veteran. And my grandfathers are veterans. My uncles are veterans. And so yeah. I just so much love our veterans. I am so thankful for all of you who love us enough to give a piece of your lives to keep us safe. And so thank
you. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
We do too. Thank you. You know, we can't do enough for our veterans. And I do a lot of work with military wives and families also, because that's the other people who serve, right?
I mean,
yeah, they're also serving. And I know you're a strong family man, which is something I really like about you, especially when we start talking about rap and hip hop. So I want you to talk to us about that.
A lot of my music, it comes from the feelings I'm feeling at the moment when I get in the studio. Mm-hmm. I don't pre-write music. I never pre-write. I don't have a book laying around that has lyrics in it, or I don't have a bunch of rhymes written on my phone. It's just the feeling I have. As soon as I step in the studio, I have a beat. I go through the beat, what I'm feeling at the moment, and if I'm feeling kind of down or kind of lost, and then I'll write a rhyme, and I'll put a lot of my feelings into it, and then you'll hear that I'll put positive into it. And after I make a rhyme like that, and I put the track all together, because I do all the recording and editing myself, so I really get really in depth with what I'm doing. And by the time I'm done with the track, you know, I just feel uplifted again. I'll put my family in it. I'll put my struggles in it, the pain I'm feeling, and I'll put a lot of positive energy into it. So when I'm done with it, it just changed my whole day around, you know. And even my artists, they, you know, we come from a hard place to live in, you know, on the reservation. Is unemployment rate's like the highest you see there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not enough of anything to go around, basically. And everyone's just living on hopes and dreams, you know. And for me, I step in coming from the city. You know, I live in Phoenix. So when I come in and I give them the opportunity to speak their mind and to put them at a place they've never been before. And from that, they can make money, you know. It gives them a job also. It gives them a sense of hope. And when I hear the music, you know, if it's too negative, or, you know, I tell them, you know, change this around, put some of that in there. I won't rewrite this stuff for them at this time. You know, you got to be positive, you know. Hit them with, like, put some positive stuff in there. Hit them with a little bit of teaching, like, okay, if this is going on and you wanted to change, what would you change about it, you know? So a lot of my music comes from that avenue. All of the other ones is just past experience. You know, I know people going through a lot right now. I was young at one time. I was wild at one time. I'm actually a recovered alcoholic. I was an alcoholic for years. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I used to do all kinds of drugs. Any kind of drugs I could get my hands on, I would do it. But,
wow.
Yeah, the biggest factor in my life at that time was just, you know, living fast, because I knew I was going to die young because of where I came from. And to me, it didn't really matter what was going to happen to me. I just wanted to enjoy my time while I was here. But my girlfriend at the time, you know, she had got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really, I sat down. Actually, I didn't have a father figure, you know. And my mom was off somewhere else. You know, she had a husband and she was doing her own thing. And I was living with my grandfather. And he's a really disciplinarian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And his job was basically just to get us to school, come home. You know, we had chores to do. We couldn't watch TV. It was really tough on us. And I contribute a lot of my anger towards not having a stable family. And, you know, I'm with my grandfather. And I kind of blamed, like, everything around me except for the fact that I was lucky to have a grandfather that took me in, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I mm-hmm. sat down one day and I was thinking about, you know, what I was going to do in my future. And my girlfriend was pregnant, you know, and I was just about to finish high school. I actually had to go back and I had failed a couple of years, so I had to go back and really do some extra classes, some college courses. They convert that to high school credit. I went into my senior year barely. I was barely a junior. Booking my senior year, I was barely junior by half a credit, so I had to make up like 7.5 credits in 1 year, which they told me I couldn't do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was like impossible. So, and by the time I figured everything out, I was like, okay, well, my life ain't going nowhere, and I'm bringing a child into this world, and I don't want to be like my father. And I can't run from this responsibility because that's going to make me just like my father.
Mm-hmm.
And just like 3 days later, an incident happened. I can't really talk about it on radio, but an incident had happened that changed my output, my outlook on life. And 3 days later, I got a phone call from a recruiter.
Wow.
And she was like, oh. Yeah, she goes, you took an ASVAB test, right? And I was like, I don't know, you know. She goes, did you go do a test in the cafeteria with a lot of military people around? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. And she goes, well, you scored like the 17th highest score in your high school.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. Yeah, and I was like, okay, what's the score? She's like, a 47. I said, a 47 out of what? She said, a 47 out of 100. And I said, isn't that like lower than 50%? And she goes, no. She goes, actually, if you get like a 50 or higher, you can go into the Air Force. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't really understand it, you know. So she goes, I'm going to talk to you. She came to school, we talked about it, and as she was walking out of the room we had a meeting in, some student stopped her. I don't know who it was, but she, the recruiter, told me. She came to my class and she pulled me out of class again. And she goes, no BS. She goes, tell me straight out. Are you going to, if I give you this opportunity, are you going to mess up? And I said, what are you talking about? And she goes, when I walked out, a student stopped me and she told me, no, you're wasting your time on that guy.
Hmm.
She goes, he's not going to do nothing. This is how he is. And a couple nights ago, this thing happened and him and a bunch of his friends were involved and whatever. And she goes, you're wasting your time on him. So, you know, and that's when I realized how people looked at me, you know. I was a failure. I wasn't going to do nothing or nothing. So I told her. I said, okay, if you give me the chance, I'm willing to change my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, if what this student told me was true, then you're not gonna make it too far staying here. And you told me your girlfriend's pregnant. She goes, I want to get you out of here. You're smart, you know. And I was like, okay. So 2 days later, I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was at MEPS, signed up. Signed all the military papers. I was already 18. I graduated high school. I turned 20 the year I graduated. So I was a lot older than people in high school. And, you know, that just made me want to give up even more because I already hit 20. Mm-hmm. I was hitting 20, and I was still in high school. And, mm-hmm. you know, people would tell me, just drop out, you know. Go to the city, get a construction job, or, you know, something like that. But I didn't want to do that. I was giving up all my life on things, and I was like, no, I'm gonna try to finish this. So when I got to military, you know, it just changed my whole life. So now I look at people in my position I was back then, and I try to put in my music and tell them, you know, I've been there. I've done that. You know, I felt like there was no tomorrow. You know, everything I did was out of hatred. But really, you got to love yourself. You got to love yourself first. Take care of yourself first, because I always tell people, you were born alone, and when you get called home, you'll be alone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Your parents bring you into this world, and pretty much, it's just like how like in nature, an animal would have a baby, you know? They nurture the baby for a while, and then the baby's on its own. And I look at life just like that. There's obstacles. There's people around every corner that's going to try to bring you down. And you have family support, but really the biggest drive you have is your own will, your own need to live and survive. So I tell people, you know, if no one loves you, love yourself. That's the best thing you can do first is love yourself. Take care of yourself.
That's right. No, you're right. You're so right. I mean, love is the answer. No matter what the question is, the answer is love, right?
Yeah.
And it has to start there. Your story is so inspiring. I haven't personally known that story. I mean, we've worked together on music and all that, but I did not know the depth of that story. And I'm just so moved that you would share it with us, because I know that there are people right now who need to be encouraged, who need to be blessed, who need to know that they have in them greatness. Yeah. And there's just something that they're called to do other than nothing or something dumb,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
And I love the fact that you seized a God-given opportunity. Because a lot of people miss opportunities. They might look at us now, you know, they'll look at your music and here you are a producer and you're doing these great things. You got a beautiful family and all. And they're like, oh, you know, hate. But they don't realize that if you hadn't seized that opportunity, if you hadn't said, I'll take that test, or I'll talk to this recruiter, or I'll go into the military. You know, we all get a golden moment to seize it. And if we waste that golden moment because it looks like work or it looks like it's hard or far away or outside our comfort zone, we miss the blessings that Creator really wants to give us.
Yeah.
And so thank you for seizing that golden moment, and thank you for sharing it with us so that someone else out there right now, their golden moment is coming toward them right now, and they need to be ready for it. And thank you also for being willing to give back. You know, sometimes people get successful and they, me and mine, and we're all right, you know, and they don't think about the next generation or the people who are in the position that they were in. So thank you for being willing to nurture new talent and help other people to discover their golden moment and their potential as well.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. And yeah, like with the helping thing, I know a lot of people, they see me, they see that, oh, he has money now, he lives on his own, you know, mm-hmm. I have an apartment, I have my own home on the reservation also. And a lot of people see me as being someone that made it out of where I was at. And they don't know me, like, in the town I'm in, Trinity, you know, a lot of people know me. But mm-hmm. other people, they see me. They see me on videos or whatever, and they're like, oh, he's flossing, he's doing this, but he's, you know, I'm pretty sure he's just doing it for himself, which is not a fact, because a lot of people that know me know that I'm the type to, actually, I'm pretty known for, through, you know, like my family, whatever, for doing this. I'll buy a vehicle, like a used vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give it to one of my family members and have them pay me back slowly, not the whole price, though, you know. I'll buy it, give it to them, and they'll pay me back slowly for it. I'll buy my cousins, their kids, nephews, I'll buy them clothes. I'm not talking like this, like whatever I'm talking about. I'll take them and buy them like a couple sets of clothes. You know, I only wear Jordans and Nikes, so I'll buy them Jordans, Nikes, jackets, you know, phones and stuff like that. And I'll take people to dinners, you know, we'll spend a couple $100, take people to dinners here and there. And I'll give people rides everywhere, you know, like someone needs to go back to reservation from Phoenix. It's like a 6-hour drive. I'll take them, you know, I'll take them back and forth, you know, don't pay me nothing. It's okay. And, I help people pay some of their bills and stuff like that. And when someone hears about it, you know, they're like in disbelief, like, okay, yeah, this guy wouldn't be doing that, you know. But I reach out. It's not only through music, but also through just life, you know. And a lot of native rappers I know, they're kind of, I hate to say it, but they're kind of self-centered, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm the type that if I'm in public, someone stops me and recognizes me, because it happens everywhere, you know. I never performed that.
Right.
I'll walk out and someone's like, hey, Mr. Master, Shadow Warriors, you know. I'm like, hey, you know, what's going on? And they'll come and talk to me, and they'll say, damn, I'm having a hard time, you know. It's, you know, I'm just kind of lost right now, and I'll talk to them, you know.
Yes.
I want to say, oh, hey, buy a CD for me or whatever, you know. I just tell them, no, you know, like, it'll get better for you. And just give them a little, you know, a little confidence. And then I'll give them a CD, like, here, listen to this, you know. I speak about a lot of things that went through, and they'll shake my hand, and then later on down the road, maybe I'll run into them again, maybe I won't, but I do run into them again. They tell someone else, oh, yeah, you know, he really listened to me. He talked to me, you know. But I haven't really seen no other native rappers really do that, you know. So some of them say they have favorite rappers, but when they met them, they were kind of all about, you know, well, you want to buy a CD, you want to do this or that, you know. And there's only a handful of native rappers that will actually go and just stand there and talk to someone they never met before, you know. And I'll have people waiting in the car on me, and I'm standing there talking to someone I never met before, and just, you know, giving him a whole lecture on, you know, what I've been through and what, you know, what could be, whatever. And even people, you know, we have a lot of alcoholism and people that stand in front of liquor stores, but stores and gas stations, they're just, you know, out of it. And sometimes I'll go and I'll buy them some food, I'll buy them something to drink, you know, like some water, juice, whatever, come back out, give it to them. Some of you guys need to eat, you know, whatever. And then some of them that I know, they're my age, but I don't know them. I'll talk to them, you know, like, man, you need to go home, change your life, you know. You're wasting your time out here, standing here drinking all day. Go help somebody, you know. I'm pretty sure you have a grandmother, grandfather. Go stay with them for a month, you know. Help them around their house. It's better than staying out here with nothing, you know.
Right.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I do reach out a lot and try to help people when I can.
Yes, and I think this is the secret of life, everyone. If you want to be happy, here is how it goes. You are blessed to be a blessing. It's about others, folks. That's it. That's all. No, you know, you don't have to buy any expensive books or anything, except you need to buy mine. But, but I mean, really, that's what it is. It's about others. Love God, love others, and then love yourself too. You got to do that. But, you know, really, I see all these people, they think the material things, the money will make them satisfied. No, because when you're blessed with those things, it's so that you can be a blessing to somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we have to, it's, if you're not helping people, it's not any fun. It's just not.
That's true.
It's not. I mean, it just becomes really hollow and empty. And I think that's why we see so many celebrities self-destruct too. We see a lot of people just in pain, suffering, and they self-destruct because they don't understand that it has to flow through you. It flowed to you, and you got your part. Now it has to flow through you to the next person so that they can be helped and blessed too. And my great aunt Gussie used to always say that if you make a fist, nothing can get in a closed fist, but everything good can fit in an open hand. And so if you're a giver, you will never regret that. Your soul will be satisfied by that. We actually have a song that you and I worked on that we're going to play right now. That is just, it just totally sums up why I have such admiration for our veterans. And I love the music and the work that you're doing.
Thanks.
Everything's about it. You got support from me.
In your head.